popular Christian blogger says that we may try to win the culture war, but we're losing a generation. Is she right?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, here I am on the front lines of the Jesus Revolution in Mumbai, India, coming your way live once again. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us as we make Line of Fire radio history. No drama tonight. All the equipment working perfectly well for hours. No last minute scramble to get everything working as we had last night. But keep praying for grace and anointing on the broadcast. We've got some really important things to talk about. I've had them on my heart for a little while and decided today would be the day to address them. It's Wednesday. I think it's Wednesday. I'm kind of losing track of time or what day of night, day or night it is, or what time of the day, night it is. But it's Wednesday, which means we focus on the world moral and cultural issues. And these are important ones. I want to hear from you as I start to share some things. I'm going to play a clip from Rob Bell for you. I'm going to read some blog articles by Rachel Held Evans. She's a popular blogger, Christian blogger. And we're going to interact. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. So once we get into this, I want to hear from you. And all ages are welcome, but if you're 30 and younger, I'm particularly interested, to hear your perspective. Before I get into that, let me just tell you about my airport experience today, leaving Visakhapatnam and flying here to Mumbai, Bombay, be here for about a day and a half before making the final journey back to Charlotte, North Carolina. And at the airport, I was with Yesupadam, his wife Monica, his son, Sunil, from his first wife, Padmini, who died about 18 years ago. And then we were met at the airport by the rest of his family, his other daughter with his first wife, Sunita, and her husband, and then Sunil's wife, Kalpana, and their kids. And there's something special about these two boys because I named them. It's a custom sometimes in India where they'll ask you, okay, just had a baby, we want you to name the child. You really pray before you do that, Father. What's the name? What destiny does this child have? What do you want me to call him? Well, when Sunil, Yesupadam's son, was married, he'd been married about 3 years and unable to have a child. I was in India, and he came up to me, he said, Uncle, which is just the friendly and respectful way that they'll refer to an older person they're closer to. Uncle, we can't have a baby. We've been married 3 years. And I said, all right, when would you like to have a baby? By the time I come back next year, he said, yes, Uncle. So we prayed for them and blessed them and believed God for a child. And when I came back 1 year later, they had their baby. And I said, what's the baby's name? He said, Uncle, we haven't named it yet. You're going to name it. I said, okay, all right, I'll name the child. And it was like 3 months old at that point. I said, what have you been calling him up to now? Well, just, you know, different nicknames and things. So I really prayed. And God spoke to me to name him Daniel. Daniel. Well, my next trip there, either that trip or the trip after, they had another child, another boy. And this time, I knew I was going to name the child. And immediately, the Lord spoke to me, his name is Jonathan. His name is Jonathan. So when it came time to name him, there were about three kids we were going to name on the platform that night. Like I said, you pray and take this very seriously. And I said, his name is Jonathan. And the mom starts crying. She starts crying as I say it. And she tells me afterwards that when she was thinking about David and Jonathan, they were a wonderful pair. They were close friends. They deeply loved each other as brothers. But David fell, and she didn't like that. But Daniel and Jonathan, and she prayed, God, have Dr. Brown name him Jonathan. I was in tears at the airport with the family today. What amazing relationships we have. Okay, back with some controversy. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, according to Rachel Held Evans, she is a popular Christian blogger, we might win a culture war and lose a generation. She writes, when asked by the Barna Group, what words or phrases best describe Christianity? The top response among Americans ages 16 to 29 was anti-homosexual. For a staggering 91% of non-Christians, this was the first word that came to their mind when asked about the Christian faith. The same was true for 80% of churchgoers. The next most common negative image is judgmental, hypocritical, and too involved in politics. My question is this accurate? And she's confirming what David Kinnaman found in his book, Unchristian. Is she accurate in this perception? Is it truthful in terms of reality? Or has the younger generation been so duped by the media and by gay-related propaganda that it's lost its vision of right and wrong? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Before I read more of her article, let me play a recent clip from Rob Bell. He was in West Hollywood, and it was July 24th, I believe. And after his talk, he was asked a question by a gay man. Let's take a listen.
Some people are gay, and you're our brothers, and you're our sisters, and we love you.
Thank you.
We love you. And it's really, really, really important that we're clear. I had a good friend when I was in my teens who was gay and hadn't told anybody, and I was the first person he told. And probably the most loving, generous, holy, one of the most, he was extraordinary, is extraordinary. But at an early age, I was like, some people are gay, and God loves them just like God loves me. And they're passionate disciples of Jesus, just like I'm trying to be. So let's all get together and try to do something about the truly big problems in our world that I believe Jesus would have us band together and tackle together. So there you go.
What do you think of that? 866-34-TRUTH. What do you think of those comments? First, to someone presumably professing to be a gay Christian, your brothers and sisters. He speaks of practicing homosexual men and women as passionate disciples, and we should work together to really try to solve the world's real problems. What do you think of that statement by Rob Bell? All right, going to read more from Rachel Evans. She says, quoting David Kinnaman, the gay issue has become the big one, the negative image most likely to be intertwined with Christianity's reputation. It is also the dimensions that most clearly demonstrates the unchristian faith to young people today, surfacing in a spate of negative perceptions, judgmental, bigoted, sheltered, right-wingers, hypocritical, insincere, and uncaring. Outsiders say Christian hostility toward gays has become virtually synonymous with the Christian faith. Later research documented in Kinnaman's You Lost Me reveals that one of the top reasons 59% of young adults with a Christian background have left the church is because they perceive the church to be too exclusive, particularly regarding their LGBT friends. 8 million 20-somethings have left the church, and this is one reason why. Rachel Evans says, when I speak at Christian colleges, I often take time to chat with students in the cafeteria. When I ask them what issues are most important to them, they consistently report that they are frustrated by how the church has treated their gay and lesbian friends. Some of these students would say they most identify with groups like the Gay Christian Network term, Side A. They believe homosexual relations have the same value as heterosexual relations in the sight of God. Others better identify with Side B. They believe only male-female relationship in marriage is God's intent for sexuality. But every single student I've spoken with believes that the church has mishandled its response to homosexuality. Most have close gay and lesbian friends. Most feel, she writes, that the church's response to homosexuality is partly responsible for high rates of depression and suicide among their gay and lesbian friends, particularly those who are gay and Christian. Most are highly suspicious of ex-gay ministries that encourage men and women with same-sex attractions to marry members of the opposite sex in spite of their feelings. Most feel that the church is complicit, at least on some level, in anti-gay bullying. And most, I dare say, all have expressed to me passionate opposition to legislative action against gays and lesbians. Oh, okay. Is she recognizing where the older generation, which includes me, I'm 57, the older generation is completely blowing it when it comes to the issue of homosexuality, and that we're getting so caught up with the culture wars and marriage amendments and things like that, that we have taken our eyes off of evangelism and walking in love and reaching out to the homosexual community? Or is she just a product of a younger generation that has lost its moral bearings, that has lost sight of what Scripture says, represented by Rob Bell? He's not under 30, obviously, but he speaks for a lot of young people. When he doesn't seem to find any scriptural contradiction with someone being a practicing homosexual and a passionate disciple of Jesus at the same time. 866-34-TRUTH. Now, I want to be clear. I have, on a number of occasions, publicly apologized for the failings of the church with regard to homosexuality. I have publicly, from the heart, fighting back tears at times, apologized for pushing people away rather than welcoming them in, not affirming, but welcoming. I have apologized for sometimes the demonization of homosexuality as if it's the worst of all sins, and have asked forgiveness for these things as a Christian leader. At the same time, I am absolutely sure that if we do not stand for righteousness, if we do not stand for righteousness and stop the onslaught of gay activism in our society, that we're going to have to apologize to our kids and grandkids. And that by and large, the church has been definitely silent on this. And there are precious few ministries that even address these things, and far less percentage-wise churches that even address them. What gets me wondering, when Rachel Evans says that speaking at Christian colleges, some of the students identify with the view that homosexual relations have the same value as heterosexual relations. If you just start there, doesn't that say that people have lost moral bearings? Doesn't that say that they are no longer convinced by the truth of the Word of God? I mean, isn't that the bigger issue first? Most have close gay and lesbian friends. Hey, do you think the older generation doesn't have gay and lesbian family members? You think the older generation doesn't have to deal with gay and lesbian kids and grandkids, or brothers and sisters, or parents, or cousins? I mean, isn't that supposedly what changes hearts all the time, that someone in your family says, hey, I'm gay, and you realize, boy, I've been harsh, I've been judgmental, and here's a great person, great family member, and I've had this miserable attitude? She says, most feel that the church's response to homosexuality is partly responsible for high rates of depression and suicide among their gay and lesbian friends, particularly those who are gay and Christian. What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to throw out the Bible? Are we supposed to say, okay, tell you what, because it's depressing to you to say that homosexual practice is sinful, because it makes you feel damned and hated when I say that the only marriage that God will bless is the marriage of a man and a woman, and that God has a better way than homosexual practice, because I say that and someone feels damned or condemned or hated, we are therefore to what, change the Bible? And the reference here, most are highly suspicious of ex-gay ministries that encourage men and women with same-sex attractions to marry members of the opposite sex in spite of their feelings. Rachel, I've worked with a number of these ministries. I still do. I have friends and colleagues who are leaders in these different ministries. And I don't know any of them that as a practice encourage men and women with same-sex attractions to marry members of the opposite sex in spite of their feelings. They would say you don't marry unless you're really ready to marry. And unless you're attracted to that person, you don't do that. So what concerns me is, again, the caricature. It's almost like the script is the script that the world is giving, the script that the gay activists are giving. You say, well, Mike, you're missing the whole point. You're just doing what the older generation does. I want to have a dialogue about this. And in particular, if you're 30 and younger, I want to hear from you. We come back. I'm going to go straight to the phones. Let me just read a little bit more from Rachel Evans, and then we'll go straight to the phones. Here's a quote from someone she was speaking to at a Christian college: when evangelicals turn their anti-gay sentiments into a political campaign, all it does is confirm to my gay friends that they will never be welcome in the church. It makes them bitter, and it makes me mad, too. This is why I never refer to myself as an evangelical. Ugh, I'm embarrassed to be part of that group. Rachel Evans says, I can relate. Well, friends, what are we supposed to do? Just step back and let gay activists redefine marriage and redefine family and determine what our kids are going to be taught in school and then determine what we're allowed and not allowed to say? Really? Come on.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Remember, friends, if you're unable to get through on the phone lines, you can always join in the real-time discussion taking place right now on our Facebook page. For those on Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown. I've also been posting some India-related photos on there as I come your way live from India. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. By the way, we did write to Rachel Evans and her organization to ask if she would come on the air. I have no clue if she ever personally saw the invitation, but we never did get a response. Got an email sent to me by Stu Epperson Jr., who heads up Truth Broadcasting, the very folks engineering this show this very moment, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And it was from a businessman colleague of his. And it said, was Dr. Michael Brown right or what? And it was a link to an article from this past Sunday in the New York Times. Here's a picture of a boy from the back wearing a dress. And it says, so what's so bad about a boy who wants to wear a dress? Hey, I mean, after all, what's the big deal? If the boy wants to go to preschool as a girl, what's the big deal? And now more and more people are saying, hey, it's just fine. And this is, as I'm looking this on my website, 8 pages long, and it's written by someone who teaches at Columbia University Graduate School of Journalism. But if we say it's wrong, if we say it's best to help this kid from the inside out, then, oh, no, we're going to alienate gay and lesbian community, and we're going to be guilty of bullying them, and they're going to think we're unchristian. 866-34-TRUTH to the phones. Bill in Las Vegas, Nevada, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, yes, Dr. Michael. I was inspired recently by reading your book, Holy Fire, again. And I was inspired in regards to this very subject because you went into addressing the different outcomes that can come from so-called revival. Let me tell you how I was inspired to look further into Jesus' teachings about the end of the age. It seems to me like he's actually saying as time goes on and we're coming closer to the end of the age, that there's going to be more and more people as Christians. And therefore, like in Matthew 24 and Luke 17, the people that he's addressing there that were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage were actually God's people. But he goes on to say that two of these people are men.
Bill, just for time's sake, tie that in with our subject here.
Okay, two of these people are men in one bed, meaning they're marrying and living and sharing a house in one bed. Two of these people also are two women who are marrying each other, but they're in business together, grinding in a mill together. It seems like the message to that is God is going to separate this suddenly at the end of the age, separate these people one from another. What's your comment on that?
I don't see it in that way, that's a reference to homosexuality, to be honest. In other words, the fact that two people share a bed does not make them gay. And it doesn't say it's not, and so in much of the world, it's very common for people to share a bed because of living conditions, and it was certainly common in the ancient world. So I don't take that as a veiled view of homosexuality. It's an interesting thought, but I don't take it in that respect. But, Bill, keep digging, keep praying, and let's keep seeking God for revival. 866-34-TRUTH. Chris in Richmond, Virginia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. Thank you, sir.
Good, good. I just wanted to kind of share some things that I've come to realize over the last 6 months or so. I am a born-again Christian, and I used to get angry about the homosexuality topic and about the justification of it, and oh, it's not so bad, and it's like, what are these people talking about? And, you know, I think it's a trap that a lot of Christians fall into with the way that they respond.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very easy trap to fall into. Yes, we have to take a stand for truth, because it does, you know, God does say what is, you know, ordained, what he is, as far as a created order, what he's ordained. And it's okay to stand for truth. But, you know, what's going to draw people to Christ is not pointing out to them what's necessarily right and wrong with them. It's loving them.
All right, so Chris, here's my question. Absolutely, if I am standing up for marriage in my community, or if I am standing up for the education of preschoolers in my community and don't want gay indoctrination for them, that act will not help me in my outreach to, say, a gay neighbor who's on the other side of this issue. But do I throw the issue out, or do I try to build a relationship with that person at the same time? And in other words, and I've got a break coming up, so I got to jump in, but you raise an important issue, which is kind of foundational to what we're talking about. Can we do both? I believe we can. The word God spoke to me was reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with compassion. Resist the agenda with courage. And, Chris, the fact is this is coming our way, knocking at our door. This is not something I went looking for or asking for. Rather, this is something that came directly at us. 866-34-TRUTH. There's some comments that Rachel Evans made I will get to. I'm going to cover this for an hour and a half, so catch everything you can online. Get the podcast later on, where she talks about hate groups sponsored by Chick-fil-A, like the Family Research Council. The one who branded them a hate group is really the hate group, the Southern Poverty Law Center, spreading misinformation and ugly things about other Christian organizations. And breaking news just from less than 2 hours ago, security guard was shot at the Family Research Council's headquarters in D.C. I was there speaking a few months ago. I've got friends and colleagues that work there. Security guard Leo Johnson got shot, excuse me, in the arm. He was able to tackle the shooter. He and another security guard tackled the shooter. I don't have any details as to what the motivation was, what happened. But I'll just say there's a lot of hatred being directed towards Christian groups that are simply standing for righteousness. Can we reach out with compassion to all people while standing for righteousness at the same time? Not only can we must. We must. Friends, I want to thank those of you who have become torch bearers little by little, the fresh trickle as we're believing God for 100 new torch bearers. Look, we're on the front lines here in India. We've got grads on the front lines around the world, and we're going for it, but we need your help, and we need your help with this radio broadcast. So if you can become a torch bearer today, we are doing something unprecedented. We're sending out as a thank you gift to our new monthly supporters, standing with us for at least $25 or more per month, sending you $60 worth of debates as a thank you gift, 6 hours on 4 DVDs of some of the most effective debates I've ever had. So call, stand with us, join the team, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or go online to askdrbrown.org and just click on support. Reach out and resist. That's the word God gave me.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the line of fire today. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Let me read a little bit more from Rachel Evans' blog, then back to your phone calls as we come your way live from India. When Tennessee added an amendment, she's talking about how to win a culture war and lose a generation. And I'm differing with her. I'm not discounting everything she says, but I'm differing with her. In point of fact, the vast majority of churches I know do not address homosexuality at all. Oh, they may not have done a good job in terms of compassion outreach to the homosexual community. I wouldn't argue that. And the fact is, those that we minister to, those that take in our message, young and old alike, come away with a much more compassionate heart and constantly tell us how their hearts are now broken for the homosexual community. But here's the fundamental issue. Unless you affirm homosexual practice, unless you say you can be a follower of Jesus and a practicing homosexual at the same time, you haven't gone far enough. And you will still be branded on some level as a rejecter or a hater or bigoted. Rachel Evans writes, when Tennessee, added an amendment to the state constitution banning same-sex marriage, even though it was already illegal in the state, members of my church at the time put signs in the yard declaring support for the initiative. From my perspective, the message that sent to the entire community was simple: everyone but gays welcome. Dan and I left the church soon afterwards. Well, I can understand if you put signs up in front of your church building that it could send a certain message. But isn't a large part of the message to stand for family? Isn't part of our message as followers of Jesus to be moral examples and to stand for what's right? Is it inconsistent to stand for marriage? You say, it didn't need the amendment. Well, the amendment is there to make sure that some activist judge or some other means of getting a case through could change the law in the state and therefore change the education of the kids and change a whole lot of other things and codify as a bigot someone who doesn't want to redefine marriage. So she had written this blog shortly after North Carolina marriage amendment in May. She said, which brings me to North Carolina and Amendment 1. Despite the fact that the North Carolina law already holds that marriage in the eyes of state is only between a man and a woman, an amendment was put on the ballot to permanently ban same-sex marriage in the state constitution. The initiative doesn't appear to change anything on a practical level, though some are saying it may have unintended negative consequences on heterosexual relationships, but seems to serve primarily as an ideological statement, an expensive, destructive, and impractical ideological statement. No! It's there to be sure that what happened in some other states doesn't happen here. That activist judges can't redefine marriage and thereby redefine what's taught in schools and ultimately redefine religious liberties and freedoms of speech and conscience. I mean, it boggles my mind that someone is just getting the talking points from the other side, it seems, and well, other side, I don't mean the enemy. I mean the other side on this issue, and not understanding the scriptural implications and not understanding the larger social issues. She said conservatives in the state who you think would be more opposed to tampering with constitutions supported the amendment. Last night it passed. Religious leaders led the charge in support of the amendment, with 93-year-old Billy Graham taking out multiple ads and publications across the state supporting the measure. As I watched my Facebook and Twitter feeds last night, the reaction among my friends fell into an imperfect but highly predictable pattern. Christians over 40 were celebrating. Christians under 40 were mourning. Reading through the comments, the same thought kept returning to my mind as occurred to me when I first saw that Billy Graham ad. You're losing us. I've said it a million times, and I'll say it again, though I'm starting to think that no one is listening. My generation is tired of the culture wars. Rachel, is it possible that elders like Billy Graham have some wisdom? Is it possible that the younger generation has been so inundated by media, so inundated by the influence of the age, so distant from the truth of the word that it doesn't even see the reality of the culture where it's being waged and thrust upon us? Billy Graham, blowing it again, or standing for truth, righteousness, God's purposes? We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, friends, coming your way live from India, where it is now past midnight. My delight to be speaking to you. We've got a couple more broadcasts coming your way from India as the week winds down as well. A very important broadcast having to do with Jewish insights tomorrow. And then as always, you've got questions, we've got answers on Friday. I've been reading from a blog by Rachel Evans, How to Win a Culture War and Lose a Generation. And while I'm sensitive to the issue she raises, and as again, to repeat, I've apologized to the gay and lesbian community a number of public occasions for the sins of the church committed against the gay and lesbian community and for hypocrisy in our own midst. At the same time, I'm utterly convinced that we need to stand for righteousness, that we need to hold to biblical truth and foundations, and that if we allow the redefining of marriage, if we allow the indoctrination of our kids in schools, if we allow gay activism to continue to move forward, it will ultimately steal away our religious liberties, freedoms of speech, and freedom of conscience. And it's happening around the world. And it's happening all over America. And when I have friends and colleagues who've been fired from positions simply for privately holding to views that go against the politically correct gay activist views, that concerns me. I see the handwriting on the wall. Do I believe in outreach? Of course, constantly. And the folks I'm involved with spend a lot of time praying for the lost, from every background. I believe in being prophetic, confronting sin, and calling for righteousness. And I believe in being evangelistic, both and. 866-34-TRUTH. Back to the phones. Glenn in the Bronx, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello.
Yes,
I think,
go ahead.
You know, the Pharisees were also very big on righteousness, and yet Jesus had to rebuke them. And I think it's a lot easier to deal with legislature and laws and everything than to really get to the heart of the matter. People who struggle with homosexuality don't need to be legislated against. They need to be delivered. And unfortunately, too many in the body of Christ have a form of godliness, and they have denied the power of God. They have, as someone who has struggled with homosexuality for many years, I have come to know that it is a demonic force that needs to be fought with the Holy Spirit, with the Spirit of God. Otherwise, it's a losing battle. And maybe we need some persecution. Maybe we need, the church needs some persecution so that we'll get on our faces and cry out to God for our own deliverance and for the deliverance of others.
Hey, Glenn, I don't doubt what you're saying at all in terms of the power of deliverance and the fact that it's much easier to talk the talk than to walk the walk, and that we can point out what's wrong, but do we have an answer for hope and deliverance and healing? When we tell the mom and dad that their boy shouldn't wear a dress, do we have an answer for that family? Those are important questions. When someone comes in and says, look, I've got same-sex attractions, I don't want them, what do we tell that person? Just suck it up and be strong, or just get married and everything will work out? So I agree with you, Glenn. And obviously the persecution issue, you're bringing up something I talked about on the air yesterday. But I've got a quick question for you. You're in the Bronx, so New York State had the vote. It wasn't the people voting, but elected officials voting on redefining marriage, and they agreed to do it. The Democrats said yes, and four Republicans caved in, and that's the way it went. That was one thing. In other words, the church saying we don't want to redefine marriage for 1,000 reasons, that's one subject. The church dealing with people struggling with homosexuality, lesbianism, bisexuality, transgenderism, that's another thing. In other words, no one thinks, Glenn, that by trying to uphold marriage, that we're going to get a homosexual man or woman saved or healed or delivered. So do you accept that part of my statement?
I do. But, Dr. Brown, it's also a matter of where should our energies be spent, the limited amount of time and energy that we have. I mean, you know, because they took prayer out of school, did that mean we had to stop praying? Because the nation declares that marriage can be between two men, does that make it so in the eyes of God? The young kid that wants to wear a dress, if I go in and I counsel him, I psychologize him for 10 years, when I believe somebody needs to go in and cast that spirit out of him. Okay,
I understand that, and let me say again, because of your background and the things you struggle with, I take your words very seriously. Okay, so in no way am I trying to have an argument with you. All right, I appreciate you calling and sharing this perspective. Yes, our great emphasis needs to be spent on reaching the lost and then making disciples and helping people find wholeness in Jesus, whoever they are. Totally agree with you. And that's where our greatest energies and efforts should be spent. And for the most part, I see churches not particularly politically involved at all, to be honest. But if I used your same mentality, say, when it came to abortion, I believe God would require the blood of the unborn from my hands and say, Mike Brown, what did you do? If we go back into the 1800s when we had the slavery epidemic in America, if Christians had that same mentality, I believe that God would require the lives and the blood of the slaves from that generation of Christians that didn't act. So,
but Dr.
I don't
Brown,
see...
if we look at the life of Jesus, his ministry, and I've studied it because I've preached. You know, I'm a preacher. I do street evangelism. I preach on the subways. And my message to God, my prayer to God was, God, what should my message be? And I have preached against homosexuality. But when I look at his message, I don't see him naming any sins. The only sin he named was the sin of unbelief. He said when the Holy Spirit comes to convict, he will convict us of unbelief and of righteousness and of judgment to come.
What about when he spoke explicitly against adultery in Matthew 5? Spoke against no-fault divorce, to put it mildly, in Matthew 5. What about when he spoke of the sins that defile us in Matthew 15, which include all sexual acts outside of marriage, among many other things? I mean, there are many, many sins that Jesus addressed directly and head-on.
He was directing, you know, that to the Pharisees.
The Sermon on the Mount was to his disciples. His disciples came to him, Matthew 5. He sat down on the mountain, his disciples came to him, and he taught them. So when he mentioned all those sins, that was for his disciples, not for the Pharisees.
But the essence of his message also, Doctor, was that the law does not deliver anyone. So if I tell you the law, if I preach to you the law...
But Glenn, we're talking two subjects here. We're talking about allowing our... Okay, so Glenn, I'm supposed to let gay activists do whatever they want to do in society, redefine marriage, indoctrinate our kids, take away our religious liberties, our freedom of speech, our freedom of conscience, even though we're called to be salt and light. I'm supposed to just let that happen and then somehow think that I'm going to do a better job evangelizing when I let that happen?
If we were spending that time on our faces in prayer and in fasting before God, God himself would turn the situation around.
But he might turn the situation around through us. Hey Glenn, listen, I want to get to some other calls. I absolutely agree with you that our primary emphasis needs to be in the life and power of the Spirit and in glorifying Jesus and preaching him. But it was while seeking him in prayer and fasting and crying out to him that he spoke to me to take the stands that I'm taking and gave me the burden to reach out and resist, reach out to the homosexual community with compassion, and resist gay activism with courage. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me go to Jesse in Beaumont, Texas. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire, Jesse.
How are you doing, Doctor?
Doing well, thanks.
Good. Now, listen, I want to address that about Rachel Evans on the homosexuality.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Now, I strongly believe that we are all sinners. And it doesn't matter what your sin is or where you come from, whether you're a drug dealer, whether you're a prostitute, whether whatever, you know, Jesus Christ died in the cross of Calvary to forgive every sin in the world.
Every
There's
sin.
No sin
yes,
in the
sir.
World that God cannot and may not forgive. He loves everybody. And all I'm saying to Rachel, we as Christians should extend ourselves over and tell her we love her. And Christ loves her too. God wants to change our ways. That's all I'm saying to her. You know, I believe absolutely strongly that we should continue to pray for the complete and whole world, no matter what you're doing. You know, that is the purpose of the cross. Don't you agree with that?
Yeah, so of course, Jesse, I'm absolutely with you that, number one, Jesus died for all sin, that Jesus, as one of my friends said, did not hang on the cross longer for a homosexual than for a heterosexual. We all fall short in a million different ways. We need the mercy and grace of God, and that's the message that we then preach to all people, and transformation and wholeness come only through Jesus. At the same time, I don't have any contradiction between that and standing for righteousness in the generation. Thank you, sir, for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to finish this article, take some more calls right here on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire today. If you haven't heard, in the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C., security guard was shot there today, shot and injured. This took place late this morning. The guard was shot in the shoulder, was conscious and breathing after the incident. The suspect was taken into custody by the FBI and was being interviewed. Officials say they are not sure about a motive. However, sources say that the suspect walked into the office, made a statement, and opened fire. Now, we don't know. We don't know what happened and why. Okay, I'm reading this report, so I have the same information that you have. My question is, and we'll find out. The guy could be mentally deranged. He could be some alienated Christian who doesn't like their group. He could be someone that has believed the lies that Family Research Council is this terrible hate group and he wants to take them out. Who knows? We'll find out. But the level of vitriolic statements coming the way of the Family Research Council make me wonder. I'm just wondering aloud if that provoked this guy to this crazy act. Could be completely unrelated. Could be completely unrelated. 866-34-TRUTH. So to finish off Rachel Evans' blog, How to Win a Culture War and Lose a Generation, she said, I've said it a million times, I'll say it again, though I'm starting to think no one is listening. My generation is tired of the culture wars. We're tired of fighting, tired of vain efforts to advance the kingdom through politics and power, tired of drawing lines in the sand, tired of being known for what we're against, not what we're for. When it comes to homosexuality, we no longer think of the black and white categories of the generations before us. We know too many wonderful people from the LGBT community consider homosexuality a mere issue. These are people, and they are our friends. When they tell us that something hurts them, we listen. And Amendment 1 hurts like hell, the marriage amendment in North Carolina, which I absolutely stood for and was blessed to vote for. She said my vote hurt them deeply. Rachel, I didn't ask for the culture war either. In point of fact, I never got involved with these issues until 7-8 years ago when God began to burden me and speak to me. And the primary thing that moved me was concern for the coming generations. The primary thing was the burden and calling of the Lord. And in the process, God began to break my heart for the people more deeply. I'm with you. It's not just issues. These are people. But Rachel, the word, unless you are going to change the clear teaching of Scripture and the design of God, and unless you are going to turn a deaf ear and a blind eye to where gay activism is going, unless you're going to do that, you have to stand for right and wrong. She says, regardless of whether you identify mostly with side A or side B, meaning those who say homosexual practice is not sin, those who say it is, it should be clear that amendments like these needlessly offend gays and lesbians, damage the reputation of Christians, and further alienate young adults, both Christian and non-Christian, from the church. So my question for those evangelicals leading the charge in the culture wars is this. Is it worth it? Is a political victory really worth losing millions more young people to cynicism regarding the church? Is a political victory worth further alienating people who identify as LGBT? Is a political victory worth perpetuating the idea that evangelical Christians are at war with gays and lesbians? Is it a political victory worth drowning out that quiet but persistent internal voice that asks, what if we get this wrong? Too many Christian leaders seem to think the answer to that question is yes, and it's costing them. because young Christians are ready for peace. We're ready to lay down our arms. We're ready to stop waging war and start washing feet. And we can, if we cannot find that sort of peace from the church, I fear we'll look for it elsewhere. Rachel, hear me. We're called to be both prophetic and evangelistic. Rachel, this young generation has been so duped by the media and so saturated by the media that you ask 100 kids about movies and about Facebook posting, and they'll give you detailed answers and responses. And you ask them about scriptural truth, and they're ambiguous and vague, whereas the word is not ambiguous and vague. Young people that I work with are burning to see America changed, and they know it's going to be through revival and through the gospel, beginning with evangelism, beginning with repentance in the church, and they know that it will ultimately impact the culture. Let me try to grab some more calls. Hey, if you're on hold and the lines have been jammed since we started the show today and got into the topic, I'm continuing this in the next hour, so stay right there if you can. Let me try to grab another caller to Robert in Dumont, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown.
Yes, sir.
I'm also a street corner evangelist, and I just want to say that the one thing that's interesting initially when you're reading the blog notes itself, there really is two different things you're talking about or that she's talking about, and she's blending them. One is when you come to Christ, whoever you are, you come fully repentant, in a spirit of sorrow for the past sins and thanksgiving for everything Christ has done. You don't try to change the message to make it attractive or change the church to try and attract a bunch of people who aren't there for that reason. They're there because they're in a repentant spirit. Through that, a group of people who have a repentant spirit can do mighty things with the Lord because we're following the Holy Spirit. We're not following our own ways. The other thing is, as an American citizen, I have a young family, so I become a little bit more militant, I guess, if that's the terminology she would use, in defending my own democratic vote. And that is that I need to protect my family the way, God had put me here to protect it. I mean, biologically, if homosexuality
Let me just jump in. I'm sorry to jump in because you're saying something so important, but I got my eye on the clock here. Even in India, I've got my eye on the clock, and we're short on time. So let me jump on what you were saying and continue with this. Rachel, it's important to understand that people like Robert are thinking about 2-year-old kids and 4-year-old kids and 8-year-old kids. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said the ultimate test of a moral society is the kind of world that it leads to its children. We're thinking in a multi-generational way. We really are. And Rachel, you should get to know the prayer groups that have been raised up with radical 15, 16, 18, 20-year-olds who love Jesus and who deeply love the homosexual community and have friends and relatives that are gay and lesbian. And they've been raised up by God with the same commission I got. Reach out, resist. Pray for a harvest, an outpouring of the Spirit in the gay and lesbian community, their salvation, wholeness, deliverance, freedom, healing, and for the turning of the tide in our nation. Both and. Otherwise, we fail to be the church and do what God has called us to be and do. 866-34-TRUTH for those who want to join in the discussion. If you're part of the younger generation, give us a call. If you differ with me, by all means, give us a call. I'll keep the calls coming in the next hour. Hey, pray for me, folks, in the next few days, along with radio broadcast. I have some extensive travel back to the States. Just been fighting off a little sickness the last day or so in India. You may hear it a little bit in my voice. So keep me in prayer. I'd appreciate it. We had some wonderful ministry, precious time with the Indian believers here and with my dear friend Yesu Padam and his family. And it was worth traveling halfway around the world or more just to be with them. Again, if you can stand with us as a monthly torchbearer, come on, hold our hands up. Do what you can. $25 or more per month, we'll send you 6 hours of free debates as my thank you gift, plus all the other benefits you get as a monthly torchbearer. So go online right now, askdrbrown.org. Would you at least do that? Check it out, askdrbrown.org. Click on Becoming a Torchbearer. Stand with us. My bottom line today, we are called to reach out and to resist. We are called to be both prophetic and evangelistic. And if we fail to do that, we fail to be the church of Jesus to this generation and the next. popular Christian blogger says that we may try to win the culture war, but we're losing a generation. Is she right?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I'm still here in India, still live in India, this time in the city of Mumbai, Bombay. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Everything smooth in operation today. No last-minute suspense to get the equipment working right before the show started. A little under the weather, so do pray for strength and grace. I've got a lot of travel as well next couple of days, so thanks for standing with me. I am reading, spent 1 hour talking about this, and now a second hour, reading from blogs, popular Christian blogger Rachel Held Evans, about, okay, may want to stand up for righteousness and fight the culture wars and fight for marriage amendments and fight against gay activism, but in the process, we're losing the younger generation, and we're just known for what we're against, not what we're for. And my take is that basically she's missing the point. She's missing the point that the younger generation has drifted from scriptural absolutes, that the younger generation has been inundated by media propaganda, that the younger generation doesn't understand the larger implications of what's happening and where things are going, because of which they're taking a very, very wrong stance on these issues. Now, do we need to reach out with compassion and have dialogue, interaction? Of course, as the church failed in certain ways to reach out to the homosexual community, absolutely. But just remember, until you can say that you can be a follower of Jesus and a practicing homosexual at the same time, until you can say that, you haven't gone far enough. It's Wednesday. We focus on the world, which means moral and cultural issues. I've gotten a lot of questions about these blogs, and therefore I thought it would be worth discussing. We did contact Rachel Evans' organization to see if she'd join me on the air. We never got a response, so I have no clue if she has any idea that we tried to contact her, or if she just declined. Not sure. And I know she's not keen on being in a situation where she thinks some right-wing conservative is going to bash her, which be the opposite of what my approach would be. Nonetheless, I take strong issue with her. And this hour, I'm going to interact with some of her blog about Chick-fil-A, where she has a lot to say for Christians who speak out against Chick-fil-A and is even critical of one of the organizations in particular that Chick-fil-A has supported. And to me, she is just buying in to the talking points of some radical leftist organizations. And by the way, if you listen to the show, I don't primarily identify as a conservative. I primarily identify as a follower of Jesus. And if you know my history, I never got involved in so-called culture wars. These were just issues that I wasn't burdened for. I cared about the elections, and I've always cared about the abortion issue for many years. But I was not in the midst of the so-called culture wars or a conservative commentator. God spoke to me to do certain things and gave me a commission. Why? For the sake of this generation and the coming generation, to reach out and resist, to reach out to the homosexual community with compassion. And in doing so, my heart is broken. Sometimes reading books where they share their stories or how they felt put out by the church or hated or condemned, I've put the book down and gotten in my room alone and gotten on my knees and cried and searched my heart and searched my soul before God, because I said, Father, I just want to reach out to these people and show them your love and mercy and grace and goodness. This is not, I've got this thing, I'm going to bash these gays and we're going to stand. No, no. We put them all in jail. No, no, no. Quite the opposite. But the commission was reach out, resist, reach out to the people with compassion, resist the agenda with courage. And I know on a national level, I'll be known more for the resisting part. But in terms of the people we disciple, impact, oh, they're reaching out with compassion, and we hear from them all the time. That means you. Okay, a whole lot to talk about, and a Rob Bell clip will play again later this hour. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. Okay, I am here in India, live, Mumbai, Bombay. It is what time? 12:37 in the morning doing the broadcast. I flew over from Visakhapatnam to Mumbai today. I'm delighted to be with you. And we're covering some important but controversial issues. And if you're 30 or under, I'd especially like to hear from you. Now, I'm going to read some for Rachel Evans, but there's been a gentleman who's been on hold for over an hour. And I just found out that he's been calling from a payphone. I didn't know that payphones existed anymore. So this has been a costly call. So before I read it all, let me go to Jeff in Boston. Hey man, how much does this call cost you?
No, that doesn't cost me anything. It's a toll-free number. Mike, I thank you for having me on the broadcast.
All right, hang on. All right, hang on.
Yes.
Jeff, I'm going to talk to you. Hey, Andrew, we didn't have any reason to get concerned that Andrew is just our call screener. Was just wondering how many quarters you pumped in. That's true. It's a toll-free number. Yes, sir. Glad to talk to you, Jeff.
Okay. Very simple. Scriptural revival according to the book of Jonah. You see, when you say scriptural revival back in the Old Testament, the denominator is this. It starts with the king on down. What does that do with the gay agenda? Mayor Menino. If Mayor Menino all of a sudden got really saved, he would repudiate gay marriage, apologize to the CEO of Chick-fil-A. He would do a full 180-degree repentance. He would get rid of the mosque in Roxbury, Massachusetts. He would restore the blue law. Restore the anti-sodomy law, but no fruit, no root, you see, because of politicians not repenting and turning to the Lord and the people voting for them for the bacon, then judgment will come. It's just
Jeff. Let me ask you a quick question. I'm not going to interact with each of the specific points you made. I absolutely agree that leaders repenting, leaders turning to God, would have a great impact across the nation. No question about it. Political leaders, media leaders, business leaders, no question. The only concern I'd have is that it's different today than in the ancient world, where if the king said, this is what we're doing, on a certain level, the people had to do it. but I absolutely agree with you that if real change comes, of course, it's grassroots. It's God working among the hearts and minds of his people. First, repentance beginning with us, judgment beginning with the house of God. But that being said, if we could pray more for our leaders, if the time that we spent criticizing our leaders, we spent praying for our leaders, who knows what God would do? Talk about awakening and shaking.
Well, that I agree with. Let me wrap it up with this. I don't have too much time.
All right.
Here it is. Black, Hispanic, and Brazilian churches have got to stop voting for these antichrist people and stop hiding behind the veil of praying for the leaders and start doing something. It's prayer and doing something. It's prayer and the ministry of the word. God bless you, Mike. Keep up the good work.
All right. Thanks, man. So let me add my little 2 cents to that and urge every black listener. I want to challenge you. If you've always voted Democrat, step back, examine the word, and ask God if you can really do that in good conscience, or should do that in good conscience, and vote for Mr. Obama to be reelected. I want to challenge you. And at the same time, I want to challenge my white listeners. Hispanics perhaps would fall a little bit in between here. So I'm making broad generalizations, all right? We understand I'm making broad generalizations. But if you consider yourself, say, a white evangelical, you probably vote Republican almost all the time. Well, don't just do it because you always do it. Get the mind of God and examine the scriptures. Fair enough? 866-34-TRUTH. So Rachel Evans wrote this a few days back, just some thoughts from a retired veteran of the culture wars. Now, I don't know Rachel's background well enough to know in what way she was a part of the so-called culture wars. I don't know that. She says, to Christians speaking out against Chick-fil-A. Now, I want to be honest with you. This boggles my mind. Chick-fil-A has been a company that has operated on Christian convictions and has been exemplary. Closed on Sunday as part of what they feel is the right thing to do before God, with famous reputation for customer service that, as far as I can tell, puts all the other fast food places I've ever been to shame, and uses some of their money to support organizations like Focus on the Family and Family Research Council and Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And two of the three, well, really all three, but two of the three I know better, Focus on the Family and Family Research Council, as exemplary Christian organizations in terms of their attitude and their conduct and the things they stand for. The people I got to know within Focus were tremendous people. The people I've got to know within FRC are tremendous people. And be praying for FRC. There was a shooting there today. Security guard was shot in the arm. He and another guard apparently wrestled down the shooter. No other injuries or casualties, but let's be praying, and especially as we find out what the motives were there. Anyway, just to start, when Rachel says to Christians speaking out against Chick-fil-A, I understand. I too believe marriage is a civil right in this country, and I too get frustrated when Christians appeal to their faith to withhold this right from their neighbors. Rachel, we're talking about the radical redefining of marriage. There have been homosexual relations for centuries. There were homosexual relations in biblical times in the culture, and nobody thought about redefining marriage. You redefine marriage, you redefine family. Civil rights, so the polygamists have a civil right. How dare you bring that up? It's in the courts. An older brother and sister want to marry. That's in the courts. I, too, am tired of selective appeals to biblical marriage that tend to glorify the modern nuclear family as the only ideal and render real people with real lives into a mere political religious issue. And I, too, am reluctant to support an establishment that sends part of its profits to the Family Research Council, an organization that has fed blatant misinformation about homosexuality to Christian fears. Rachel, that's blatant misinformation. You're doing that now. With all your sincerity, which I don't question, Rachel, you are spreading blatant misinformation about a fine Christian organization, and you're believing what others have written about them. I mean, this is so grievous to me. Fine, throw out marriage. Fine, redefine it. Fine, go ahead, redefine marriage, which means redefine what kids are taught in schools, and then which codifies those that say marriage is the union of a man and a woman, which codifies them as bigots and homophobes. Fine, go ahead and watch what happens to religious freedoms and freedom of speech and freedom of conscience. Go ahead, trash it all. I just tell you, Rachel, the day will come when your kids and grandkids will say, Mom, what were you doing when this happened? What were you thinking? Do you know that it's very offensive to Jews when I say Jesus is the only way to salvation? It's very offensive. Groups like Jews for Jesus are very offensive. And maybe more Jews would get saved if we stopped doing such direct Jewish evangelism and offending Jews. I mean, use the same mentality. Here. Are you aware, as I'm talking about this, that the issue of slavery was divisive in the church in the 1800s? And that there were many Christians, some famous Christians, authors of prayer books and commentaries on scripture that were pro-slavery and thought it was a good thing for the slaves and it was a way to introduce them to the gospel and that they were ultimately happy? And are you aware that there were people turned away from the gospel because other Christians stood against slavery? Does that mean we don't stand against slavery? You say, are you comparing homosexual practice to slavery? No, I'm saying that we have to stand up for what's right regardless of cost or consequences. And God will require it of us. Going to get to the phones momentarily. Stay with me. 866-348-7884. Rachel writes, I'm especially sorry to my LGBT friends who have been bullied in the name of Christ, many of you as Christians yourself, and I long for the church to become a more welcoming home to all who want to follow Jesus regardless of race, gender, socioeconomic status, or sexual orientation. You have every right to be tired of being treated as a second-class citizen. I get it. I really do. Rachel, can I ask you something? If the Bible clearly says that homosexual practice is forbidden by God and very wrong and destructive in his sight, and that a practicing homosexual, just like a practicing adulterer or a practicing fornicator or a practicing alcoholic, will not inherit the kingdom of God, and if Jesus himself clearly affirmed marriage as the union of one man and one woman for life. If that's what Scripture says, what are we supposed to do about that? Would you like to rewrite the Bible? Well, you say there's debate about it. Just because people debate it doesn't mean it's not black and white and true and clear. And can I ask you a question? Why is it that it's only after the sexual revolution of the 1960s and the radicalizing of our society in so many negative and destructive ways that people are now discovering these new interpretations of Scripture? Back with your calls. Stay right there. I'm going to the phones right after the break.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. We are discussing the issue of standing up for righteousness, I would say being prophetic, without alienating the younger generation at the same time. So being prophetic as well as being evangelistic. Some, like Christian blogger Rachel Held Evans, say that the older generation is committed to the culture wars. Those 40 and over are cheering on when you have a marriage amendment vote, as we did here in North Carolina, May 8th, cheering that on. Yes, yes, yes. And those 40 and under are saying, oh, no, we're just seeming hateful and hypocritical and pushing away gay and lesbian people. We should care about everybody. But someone's going to be offended by our stance for righteousness. Are there not people who militantly believe in a woman's, quote, right to choose? Are there not people who believe that abortion is compassionate, and when Christians stand up against abortion, that it drives those people away from the gospel? Isn't that the case? What do we do then? Do we abandon that cause? Do we abandon that stance because it's going to offend some people? Or are we determined to build relationships, reach out, overcome differences and misunderstandings while standing up for what's right? 866-34-TRUTH. Sherry in Brooklyn, New York, thanks for holding and welcome to the Line of Fire. Hello, Sherry, are you there?
Oh, yes, I am. Hello,
all
Dr.
Right.
Brown.
Hey, great to talk to you from India.
Thank you. I appreciate your program very much. I hope I'm not too late to make this comment. I wanted to comment to the gentleman that spoke to your first hour program. He said that he was a street preacher, and he took issue with ministers such as yourself who are dealing with certain issues from a public perspective.
Yeah, and just to jump in, and of course, everything is online all 2 hours, so people will get to hear both hours, Sherry. Oh. This was also a caller from New York, a man named Glenn, who himself had struggled with homosexuality for years, so I absolutely agreed with him that our greatest emphasis should be on preaching Jesus and making disciples. And I absolutely agreed with him that we need the power of the Spirit to set captives free, whatever they're bound with. But I didn't see that as a contradiction with also standing for righteousness, standing for marriage, family, things like that. So your comment is perfectly welcome, please.
All right. Thank you. Yes. I hope Brother Glenn is still listening, because I think a couple of verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 might help him to better understand just exactly why ministers such as yourself do what you do. In verses 5 and 6 of 1 Corinthians 12, it says, there are distinctive varieties of service and ministration. I'm reading from the Amplified Version.
Mm-hmm.
But it is the same Lord who is served, and there are distinctive varieties of operation, of working to accomplish things. But it is the same God who inspires and energizes them all in all.
Mm.
So
yeah.
I understand, and a lot of Christians do not understand, that Jesus is the head of the church. But we are not all called to fight the forces of evil the same way. I'm also what you would label as a street minister. I preach in subways, buses, on the streets, etc. And I know that my calling is more to deal with the lost world that we live in. from a spiritual perspective. I'm led to pray. I'm led to fast. I'm led to intercede. And I'm led to minister and evangelize on a one-to-one basis. And when I do, I never mention the word homosexual. I always deal with the person as a human being, dealing with their heart. However, we also must understand that there are ministries such as your own and others such as American Center for Law and Justice, the Family Research Council, et cetera, who are just as called as we are by Jesus to deal with the problems of this lost world from a public's perspective. And when we all come together and do what we're all called to do, together we will accomplish the work of the Lord.
Yeah, and Sherry, you're excuse me, absolutely right on that there are different facets of ministry and calling within the body. And in fact, as I'm here in India right now, it was not to deal with moral cultural issues in America. And I've been overseas more than 100 different trips. The number of messages I've preached dealing with, say, homosexuality, if I preached several thousand messages overseas, I don't know, 10, 3 have dealt with homosexual-related issues. I mean, it's
right.
So there's a major part of my – and when I'm doing Jewish outreach and Jewish apologetics and interacting, that's an issue that virtually never comes up. And when it comes to dealing with moral and cultural issues, it's the big issue that we can't avoid. So, yeah, it's absolutely both and I believe, Sherry, that the church as a whole needs much more of a heart for the lost and the hurting and the dying that you have and that Glenn, who called in the first hour, have, reaching out. The ministry we work with here in India, when we had breakfast at the hotel before leaving for the airport, they were going to drop me off at the airport. When we had the birthday celebration for Yesu Padam earlier in the week, there were government officials there. And they were there because the work is known among the poor, among the hurting, among the handicapped, among the elderly, the orphans, the widows. And they've laid such a foundation that it's really hard to argue against that. So I agree, Sherry, that if we did more of that, reached out to hurting people, if I had more of a broken heart for a hurting, dying world, I could be all the more effective. At the same time, you're absolutely right. It's both and the eye can't say to the ear, I have no need of you, and the foot can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. We need all of the parts operating together. And one last point. I got to run because I got a break here. One last point. When I see brothers and sisters standing for righteousness, coming under attack, getting maligned, getting slandered, getting falsely labeled hate groups and junk like that, when I see that happening, I'm going to stand up on their behalf because those are my brothers and sisters. And they're being maligned, and I know that the hurt and damage that comes to them is something that we all experience together. So we each have to find our calling, and we each have to give ourselves to it while affirming the larger calling of the body. Wise call. Thank you for it, Sherry. I appreciate it. All right. Folks, stay right there. 866-34-TRUTH. Phone lines have been jammed for an hour and a half, but I'm going to get to as many calls as I can on the other side of the break. We come back, I'm going to read some more from Rachel Held Evans' blog about Chick-fil-A. I'm going to play a clip from you. I played the first hour. I played again from Rob Bell, perhaps even more. Well, I don't know if it's any more shocking than some of the things Rachel Evans has said. And I'll tell you a little interesting airport story I had as well. Pray for me. I've got a good amount of travel in the coming days. And, of course, radio coming your way Thursday and Friday as well, fighting off some sickness here in India. So thank you for praying, standing with me. If you've not yet taken advantage of this offer beyond anything we've ever done, some of the most effective, it is my most effective teaching ever on spiritual warfare and angels, demons, and deliverance, two 12-hour series, 24 hours of teaching. It's only $20 per CD, so you get 12 hours on one CD for your computer MP3 player. So $40 plus postage. This week, only $15 postage paid for both. But call to take advantage of that. 1-800-278-9978. Call now. 1-800-278-9978. Or just go online to askdrbrown.org. Click on the online bookstore to order. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are coming away live from Mumbai, India, where it is now 1 in the morning. Glad to be with you. These shows are so important to me. Broadcasting live at every opportunity we have. I just got a note from the studio when they were saying September 3rd, Labor Day, they'll probably just be playing a best of show. I said, no, I want to be coming live on Labor Day. Another opportunity to live show. And plus, we're having a gathering in Charlotte the night before at the Verizon Wireless Center, a time of prayer and repentance by believers, by the church, seeking the face of God, crying out for his mercy. And I want to report on that to you and be able to take your calls and chat with you. So here we are, coming away live from India. My joy, my great privilege to be with you. And we're talking about the perspective of the younger generation that says, even younger Christians that say to the older generation, you're turning off people, you're just hypocritical, everyone thinks you're anti-gay, you're fighting all these political culture wars. In the meantime, you're turning away young people, you're turning away gay and lesbian kids, and you're alienating a whole generation. And soon enough, we're not even going to be in the church anymore. That's why many have left. And I've been reading a blog by a popular Christian blogger, Rachel Evans, taking issue, though, with her viewpoint. I basically articulated her viewpoint, which many others share. And while I recognize where the church has failed in many ways, I feel that the bigger issue is that there's not an understanding of the consequences of gay activism. We're doing what we're doing for the next generation, for kids, for grandkids. We're doing what we're doing because we see a threat to religious liberties and freedoms of conscience and speech. We're doing what we're doing because we recognize that if we don't, we're going to have to answer to God. And ultimately, it's going to be all the more difficult to evangelize. If we don't stand for what's right. I'd be the first to talk about the failings of the church and where we've been hypocritical and fallen short. And if not for us messing up marriage and opening the door to no-fault divorce in the church and all the scandals with leaders, sexual scandals, financial scandals, of course, we're going to be looked at as hypocrites. So we need to repent. But I also recognize that many young people are buying the lines of gay activism, and they've been inundated through the media. And they're more influenced by a real nice gay kid in school, whom they should love, of course, than they are by what the Word says. And have an attitude of love towards that gay kid, which is in harmony with Scripture. 866-34-TRUTH. I want to play a quote from Rob Bell, and then go to your calls, and I'll also read some more from the Rachel Evans blog. But just at the airport today in Visakhapatnam, they were paging me because I was saying goodbye to Yesupadam and his family. Just I was actually in tears. We were in tears together because of the amazing history we've shared. And I was getting on, and I got stopped at security. They wanted to look through my computer bag. I'd taken out the laptop, but they wanted to look at my computer bag. So as they went through it, we had to wait like 5 or 10 minutes until someone showed up to do it. I mean, in India can just be a little different sometimes. So they said, anything electric, cords, anything. I said, oh, you want me to take out everything electric? Okay. So I took out my Kindle e-reader. I took out my high-def webcam that I had in there. I took out a tiny little tape recorder, took out my little MP3 player, took out all the wires from my computer, took out a digital recording pen. Was there something else? Maybe one other item. It was really kind of funny. I thought, all right, I do have a lot of gadgets. Okay, July 24th, Rob Bell speaking in West Hollywood, someone who identifies as gay. Rob Bell assumes he's a Christian, wants to know Rob Bell's response. Joe, do we have time to play it, or do we need to wait till the next segment? We better wait. We'll wait for the next segment, and we'll play that clip. Rachel Evans says this. She said, I am distressed by plans floating around the internet that encourage folks to demand free food or water from Chick-fil-A restaurants. She's writing to folks on both sides of the Chick-fil-A issue. Say, okay, for Christians speaking out against Chick-fil-A and for Christians speaking out for Chick-fil-A, here's what I have to say. I found her article primarily to be voicing the concerns of gay activism, deviating from scriptural foundations, and demonizing fine Christians while believing the likes of the Southern Poverty Law Center. That scares me.
Fire we want, for fire we please. And the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
In case you have not heard, the security guard at Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. was shot late this morning, wounded in the arm. He and another guard were able to tackle the shooter and hold them for police to come. No other injuries, no casualties. As reported, the guard is recovering in the hospital. He's been called a hero. There are conflicting reports about what happened, so no certain news yet. I am concerned that the rhetoric being directed against Family Research Council, hateful misinformation being directed against Family Research Council, may have inspired an act of violence. I hope I'm wrong. I absolutely hope I'm wrong, but I have deep concerns. 866-34-TRUTH. But when blogger Rachel Evans says this, when she, here, let me find this. When she says that there are problematic elements of the Family Research Council, which has been designated by the Southern Poverty Law Center and has consistently tried to link gays and lesbians to pedophiles. Rachel, find out the truth about the Family Research Council. I know you've got some folks that have documented things. The Southern Poverty Law Center and dealing with conservative believers is completely bogus. Look, the reports they've written about me are complete nonsense. And when they do have quotes from my book, they're completely benign. They have me on a list, and I'm honored to be maligned and slandered by them for the gospel. And it's for the gospel. They have me on a list with the leader of the New Black Panthers, Malik Zulu Shabazz. I was just reading some, or listening to, as much as I could take, it's profane and ugly, from a gal who's with the New Black Panthers. That's some of the most vile, ugly, hateful, violent stuff you could imagine towards a white community. I'm on the same list with David Duke, former Grand Wizard of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. I don't know where he stands today, but think of the hatred towards blacks from the Ku Klux Klan. Articles I've read where they had my birth year wrong. I mean, just facts of events I was at where they had the facts completely wrong. Bogus. And you're going to believe them and demonize a fine Christian organization and not even look at their research firsthand. Or if you did, look at it through biased lenses. That concerns me. That really concerns me. Again, we wrote to Rachel's organization asking for a dialogue on the air. Never heard back, so I don't know if she ever got the request personally or if they simply didn't respond or she doesn't want to do interviews. My goal, if someone comes on the air, I'm going to be as conciliatory as I can in the midst of our differences. If they don't come on, then I have to more clearly air the differences because that's what I have a responsibility to do, and I'll read their actual words. But I want to repeat, this is not a battle or war I asked for. I don't regret having to stand for righteousness. But look, read my first 19 books, okay? Read my first 19 books up to A Queer Thing Happened to America, which came out in 2011. So books that I wrote, say, from 1885, all the way back in 1885. Books that I wrote beginning in 1985 up through 2010. And take out every paragraph, every sentence having to do with homosexuality, homosexual activism, and maybe it'll fill one page. Maybe. This was not a focus. This was something God spoke to me. Reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with compassion. Resist the agenda with courage. And we've got to do both. And what I've found in our home church, in our ministry school, among the grads on the field, those that call in the show and write to us, they have developed a much, much more compassionate heart toward the homosexual community, at the same time recognizing that we must stand for righteousness. To the phones, Clifford in King George, Virginia. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
God bless you, Dr. Brown.
Thank you, sir.
Continue your brilliant work. I just wanted to make this quick. As a believer, and I am talking to believers, we're to seek truth through the light of the Word of God. I believe that we're going to be questioned. What did you know? When did you know it? And what did you do with it? Thank God you are doing what you're supposed to be doing with the Word of God. And that's not putting any more emphasis on the sin of homosexuality than you are, say, being a thief. I was a thief when I looked at His Word and saw that that was something that I was supposed to turn from, not do. I can't say that I did it immediately, but as I understood that it was something I wasn't supposed to be doing if I was going to be a disciple of Christ.
Yes, sir.
And ironically, I do believe there are many in the church that are quote-unquote believers, but they're not disciples.
Yeah, they're certainly not living as disciples, Clifford. And you come to a really key point, and I've brought it up the last hour and a half, and I want to repeat it now. I believe one problem with the younger generation in terms of being so ambiguous about homosexual issues or even pro-gay activism and claiming to be Christians at the same time is that they've departed from what the Word says. And they're getting their judgments based primarily on friends they have, real nice kids, or brother or sister that's gay or lesbian or bisexual, transgender identified, or I should say, and from the media.
Yes.
A constant presentation through the media. And we've got to reckon with that. If listen, am I going to be influenced by what a lot of young people say if they haven't been influenced, they claim to be followers of Jesus, if they're influenced more by the media and friendships than they are by the Word, because it's the Word of truth doesn't change, I will say, okay, we have a problem in reaching them. We have a problem with them getting diluted and missing the truth. Let's figure out where we fail there to help reach them better.
Absolutely.
But I'm going to say, the survey says that they feel this way. Therefore, I'm going to change this. Hey, Clifford, thank you, sir, for your points and for your kind words. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, here's what Rob Bell had to say. July 24th, West Hollywood, someone in the audience after his talk identifies as gay. It appears Rob Bell assumes he's saying that he is a, quote, gay Christian. This is the Rob Bell response.
Some people are gay, and you're our brothers, and you're our sisters, and we love you.
Thank you.
We love you. And it's really, really, really important that we're clear. I had a good friend when I was in my teens who was gay and hadn't told anybody. And I was the first person he told. And probably the most loving, generous, holy, one of the most, he was extraordinary, is extraordinary. But at an early age, I was like, some people are gay. And God loves them just like God loves me. And they're passionate disciples of Jesus just like I'm trying to be. So let's all get together and try to do something about the truly big problems in our world that I believe Jesus would have us band together and tackle together.
So there you have it from Rob Bell, that you can be a passionate disciple of Jesus and a practicing homosexual at the same time. And that gay activism and redefining marriage and indoctrinating of our children and losing religious rights, freedoms, and freedoms of speech and conscience are not big concerns. Instead, we should band together and look at the big concerns. Look, I think it would be wonderful for every one of us to spend time with someone who says, I love Jesus with all my heart, and I'm same-sex attracted, and I believe he's fine with that. And to hear them, and to sit with them, and to hear their stories, and to cry with them, if appropriate. I think every one of us should. And every one of us should challenge ourselves with what does Scripture really say? That being done, we have to say you may be an extraordinary person. And you may be the kindest, most Christ-like person I know in so many ways. And yet, you cannot follow Jesus and affirm your same-sex attraction and practice it. You say, what does that mean? It means deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow the Master. And Jesus will be your fullness. And he'll either satisfy your life or change your desires so that you're attracted to the opposite sex. But either way, Jesus will be more than enough. Easy for you to say, I'm simply passing on what God's word says and what many have said to me who themselves have come out of homosexuality or have simply chosen to pursue God in holiness even while same-sex attracted. Michael in Orange, Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir, Dr. Brown. Just driving down the road and came across your radio program, and it interested me because I'm actually a former homosexual and now a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would be classified as a younger generation, I guess, because I'm 30 right now. So somewhat younger generation with regard to what you're talking about today. And just thankful for the Lord revealing his truth. From what I gathered, Rachel seems to suggest you can't share the truth so that we don't offend, but it's the truth that saves, and it's the truth that sanctifies, and that's what saved me. That's what saves all of us, is when we hear that gospel of truth. So,
Michael, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this question, and then if you can hold another minute or two, we'll come right back and finish this after the break. You identified as a former homosexual.
Yes, sir.
Correct? All right, I just wanted to repeat that and be clear. I've got a question. Stay with me. We'll be right back with Michael from Orange, Texas, and more calls on the other side of the break.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining me again live from India. Thanks for praying. Thanks to the trickle of new torchbearers that's been coming in. Greatly encouraging to see that, and we're praying and believing for that trickle to become a mighty stream and flood and join our growing army of supporters that are making a difference around the world. I want to go back to a caller that's been on hold through the break. But just this report, in case you didn't hear it, I'm speaking to folks all over North Carolina. This is reported by Cameron Harris, sophomore at Davidson College, August 9, 2012. A liberal arts college in North Carolina has become the first in the nation to prevent Chick-fil-A from being served at campus events over the restaurant's indirect support of pro-family groups perceived by some as anti-gay. The student organization that controls student funds at Davidson College made the decision last week to prevent the sandwiches from being served at a series of events called After Midnight, when students circulated a petition expressing outrage over Chick-fil-A's owner's monetary donations to groups including Focus on the Family and the Family Research Council. Do you understand what's happening, friends? Do you understand that rules are being written, that there is only one side to the story? And you are not allowed to take the other side. We have been warning you. You may not agree with me today, but keep watching. You'll agree with me in 6 months or in a year or 5 years or 10 years. And you'll say, why didn't we act when we could have acted? All right. Let me go back to Michael, Orange, Texas. You identified as 30 years old. So that would put you in the younger generation, and as former homosexual. How long have you been following Jesus, Michael?
About 9.5 years now.
9.5 years. All right. So these culture wars, so-called, have been taking place during that time. How did that affect you and following Jesus? Your home state of Texas passed a marriage amendment. Certainly in conservative churches in Texas, they would clearly stand for marriage as the union of a man and a woman. How did that affect you as a same-sex attracted man? Did that put you off or drive you away from the gospel? If so, how did you come to Jesus?
So you're talking about before I became a Christian then?
Yes, sir.
Okay. No, I can't say that that turned me off or anything. My homosexual past is mostly comprised of two separate events in my life. One when I was in eighth grade, and then once when I was in college. A repeated thing once while I was in college, and just not to go into details, but just having to interact with a male, you know, someone of the same sex, and then being addicted to all different types of pornography. Your heart kind of runs wild with different imaginative thoughts, and so I did struggle with same sex attraction, and even after I was saved, you would still have certain thoughts and ideas sometimes if you happen to come across an honest picture on the web or something of even on Yahoo.com or something, some guy with his shirt off, and so I can honestly say
heterosexual Christians, I'm a heterosexual follower of Jesus, I have to watch my eyes, you know, with women there, you can be reading a sports thing and here's some bikini clad gal there, you know, gotta look away. So those things present themselves. But you're saying that Jesus actually changed you.
Oh, I was, like I said, I was addicted to pornography. I was I never did drugs, but that was my drug. I had to have pornography. I had to have just sexual things in nature and gratify myself. And whenever I got saved, I can honestly say to this day that I have not once even been tempted to go onto the internet like I used to go download that stuff and watch that stuff. I certainly, like you just said, I still struggle with lust in my heart. But as far as getting on the internet and actually struggling with not going to certain websites or things like that, that has not been a struggle for me at all. God completely cleared that from me and from my heart. And I mean, praise God for that, because I have another friend who went through pornography too, but for a while, he struggled with just going on the internet without going to those websites.
Yeah, I mean, but these things can be strongholds, and there needs to be sometimes real deliverance and certainly discipleship, and often, you know, running together with another friend, accountability. Hey, Michael, I rejoice in what the Lord is doing. So as someone who came out of homosexuality and is now seeking to follow the Lord, do you feel that we should be involved in the so-called culture wars, that we should be standing for marriage and family, or is that going to stop us from reaching the homosexual community?
Well, I certainly believe that we should be standing for righteousness, for families. It really grieves my heart to see what's happening in our country. I personally believe, according to Romans chapter 1, when it talks about the wrath of abandonment, if you just measure up the American society to that list there, you have to wonder, has God abandoned America? And are we just going down a path of complete unrighteousness where we're actually turning good into bad and bad into good? And
yeah, I mean, we've certainly, just to jump in, because I got the end of the show here, Michael, for sure, as we look at something like Romans, the first chapter, we see in a thousand different ways God has given us over to wrong desires, to the flesh, to carnality, to different sexual sins, to sexual perversion, in many, many different ways. And we need to cry out to God for mercy, beginning with us in the church. Friends, let's sit down, let's interact with young people, let's be determined not just to hear them, but to help instruct, to be examples, and to guide people in the ways of truth. I'm concerned about the world my grandkids are growing up in, and if I'm here long enough, the world my great-grandkids will grow up in. This is a multi-generational issue to me. And if we fail here, we utterly, absolutely fail when it comes to standing for what is right in our generation. I believe people will look back at this as the critical moral cultural issue in our day and one that we dare not fail on. Reach out and resist. I'll say it once more. Reach out to the homosexual community with compassion. Resist the agenda with courage. Friends, a direct heartfelt appeal. I'm not trying to get choked up. I'm just fighting off a little sickness here in India. Stand with me. Become a monthly torchbearer. excuse me. There you go. Stand with me. Help me as I'm coughing here in India. Really, by God's grace, you know we're on the front lines. You know we're doing a lot of things that he's called us to do, and we just need help from more and more of you. So get online right now. Go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on Become a Monthly Torchbearer. You'll see all the monthly benefits and daily benefits you receive as a torchbearer. Plus, this week only, as we're here in India, we're sending out to you 3 2-hour debates, some of the best debates I've ever had, 6 hours total on 4 DVDs. It's $60 worth of material that we'll send you as our gift as you become a monthly supporter with at least $25 or more per month and join our growing army of torturers. But we really do need to hear from you. And if you can send a special gift, a one-time gift, that would be awesome as well. Everyone, do what you can. And everyone can pray, so would you at least do that as well? 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Or just go online, AskDrBrown.org, become a torchbearer. My bottom line today, we must ask ourselves, what influences us? What shapes our thinking? What builds our convictions? Is it the word of truth? Or is it our cultural surroundings?